Tonight we're continuing the series on preaching on the church. Next Sunday night, Brother Rob Black will be preaching, and then, Lord willing, after that we'll have Brother Kenny preaching the second service on the anniversary, and then the second Sunday in November, Lord willing, we'll be back on preaching on the church. So, yeah. We'll be taking part one of the pastor tonight, and then on the second Sunday night of November, Lord willing, part two. It's a lot to talk about when we talk about the pastor. Glad nobody said amen to that. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And the Bible says, and He gave some apostles, in verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want you to notice in verse 12, one of the major purposes of the church is the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Or the edifying has the meaning of building up, perfecting. That means getting us to where we need to be, getting us mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can work the ministry, so that we can do the things that God wants us to do, and so that we can be built up. The Bible is very clear, the purpose of the church. Some people have an erroneous idea that the church, the purpose of the church is if you belong to the church, then you're saved. Church membership has nothing to do with salvation. The Bible teaches that we're only saved by personal faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so one of the major purposes that the Lord established the church was, tells us right here. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Look what it goes on to say, till we all come in the unity of the faith, so we all can get on the same page. We know what we believe, and we know why we believe it. Somebody said, if you would take your Bible knowledge and your understanding of the Bible and your Bible knowledge, and you were going to go on an airplane flight, and the pilot had the same understanding of flying a plane that you have of Bible knowledge, would you trust getting on that plane with him? I don't know about some Christians. I wonder sometimes. But the purpose of the church is that we can be built up, that we can come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13, unto a perfect or mature or full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the church is given to us to bring us all, to teach us, and to bring us to the place where we become Christ-like. Not only here in the church, but out in the community and all around. The fullness of the stature, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. You know, when we're born again, we're babes in Christ. We're just babies. But we're not supposed to stay babies. I know if you had a child and that child just never did get out of the baby stage, you'd be very concerned. You'd be calling the doctor and you'd be taking that child to some specialist and you'd say, this child is still a baby. 20 years old, but still a baby. You see, we're not supposed to stay babies either. We are supposed to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And so it says that we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Some Christians are that way. Some new doctrine comes along. Doctrine means teaching. And some new doctrine teaching comes along. And boy, they're all caught up in it. And then for long, you have to get them straightened out and say, now look, come back to here. Look what the Bible says. Get back to the Word of God. We'd be not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Notice this, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, I'll tell you, you begin to look into some of the translators and the committees that did some of the translating of the modern versions, and they fit right into this verse. Because their goal was not to make a better translation of the Bible. Their goal was to make profit. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Just check the facts. It's sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, notice this, may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, we've been all given spiritual gifts. The Bible's very clear about that. Compacted together, which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So it's clear to see from this passage of Scripture that the purpose of the church is to grow us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It is not an entertainment center. It's not a place to come here and be entertained. It's not a place to come here and have a nightclub type of experience. This is a place where you come to learn the Word of God, to learn how to be a better Christian, to learn how that I can be more like Christ, how I can be more effective in serving Him, how I can love Him more, how I can be what He wants me to be. Now, I always say to these churches that want to act like they're nightclubs, well, you know, we've got to do that to reach people nowadays. Well, why don't you just take the name church off and just put nightclub up there? I mean, church has a purpose. It's for saved people to come and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Not ruling out that they shouldn't bring lost people with them. They should, so they can hear the gospel and be saved. But the trouble is, you can bring lost people to many churches today and they'll never hear the gospel because it's left out. It's all entertainment instead of preaching the gospel. You say, you're always hard on that. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Churches were established for the purpose of growing people in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. That's what, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Christ had in mind when He started the church. We might grow in His likeness. He said, I am the light of the world. And then before He left, He said, you're the light of the world. I'm leaving you to take my place. The things that I did as I walked upon this earth, bringing people to a saving knowledge of myself, that's what I'm leaving for you to do. Get out there and do it. And I've left you the church to bring you to that Christ likeness, to follow the example. Now, in verse 11, it tells us very clearly He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now it's easy to figure these things out. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, you notice that it says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now we don't have time to get into that tonight, but if we studied this out about the signs and special miracles and all of that, speaking in tongues and all those things ceased. They had a purpose. They were the signs of an apostle. The New Testament apostle was an apostle that had seen Jesus Christ and been sent out by Him. Paul made that very clear, that he was an apostle because the Lord Himself had commissioned him and sent him out. There are none of those today. They don't exist. It's an office that was fulfilled. Same with the prophets. The law and the prophets were until John. Well, then why does the Bible say that He gave them? We still have them. Can't you take your Bible here in this church and read what the prophets said? Can't you take your Bible and read what the apostles taught? Many of them wrote the New Testament scriptures. They're still with us. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Proof of that, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation, here's the foundation, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. There are no apostles in that sense of the New Testament apostles who saw the Lord and were sent out by Him. Now the word apostle means sent one, and we have people who are sent out today. Missionaries are sent ones. But when you look at the Bible, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So we're all sent ones. But there are no apostles who actually saw the Lord and were sent out by Him alive today. But they're still with us because we have their writings in the Word of God. Through the Word, we have their instruction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. We still have prophets today in the sense that they speak the Word of God. They preach about the Word of God. But we don't have any Old Testament prophets. They're all done. All fulfilled their mission with the ending one, John the Baptist. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread, and pardon me, that should be 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't know why I wrote down 1 Corinthians. Verse 27 doesn't exist. So let me find it here where I'm supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Where was I at? I was in chapter 11. No wonder. Well, just expect more of that the older I get. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. That's what there were first, wasn't there? Secondarily, prophets. That was John the Baptist there and the Lord Himself. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then in that 13th chapter, he says, whether there be tongues, down there in verse 8, they shall cease in the middle part of the verse. These special signs, truly the signs of an apostle, were wrought among you. But then when we look at the evangelist back in the day of Christ was a little different than the evangelist today, but we still have evangelists who travel and preach and try to stir up revival in churches. And we have pastors and teachers. And so when the Bible says He gave some of these, we still have them all. We have the writings of the apostles. We have the writings of the prophets. And we have evangelists today and pastors and teachers. And so we are teachers. What is the purpose of all these pastors and teachers and all of these that we've had? To grow us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So that we can be unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 13. That's the purpose of all this. You know, there are many that have been called to be teachers. But the Bible teaches us very clearly that the women, 1 Timothy 2:12, are not to usurp authority over the man. We can find scripture that women are to be teachers. They're to teach the younger women. The older women teach the younger women. And we find them in positions of teaching, but never in positions of usurping authority over the man. It's not biblical for a woman to be a pastor. Every scripture that we find concerning the pastor, it's always referring to a man. And so tonight, when we study the New Testament and look through the New Testament, we find that there are only two officers of the church who were ordained by God. Now there are other offices mentioned that are for the help of the church and the growing, the grace and knowledge of the Lord, but there are two offices that are ordained by God. In other words, these were set up by Him in the New Testament church, and that is pastors and deacons. And so tonight, we're going to begin with the office of a pastor. I have 3 points to give you tonight, and we're just getting started because there's a lot to cover concerning the pastor of a New Testament Baptist, New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. So, first of all, the pastor is not, we're going to look at 3 things that he is not. He is not the head of the church. The pastor is not the head of the church. Look down there to verse 15, Ephesians 4. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, talking about Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The pastor is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And it put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That's talking about Jesus again. Gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. The pastor is not the head of the church. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. This is giving the qualifications for a pastor, which we will get into in more detail later, not tonight. But neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, or an example to the flock. Not to lord it over God's heritage. The Lord Himself is the head of the church. The pastor is not the head. Secondly, he is not a priest. The pastor is not a priest. The word priest has the meaning of a chief ruler. He is not the priest. Jesus is our high priest. And he is after the order of Melchizedek. Look in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 21. This is important for us to understand when it comes to the office of the pastor. He is not a priest. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Under the local New Testament church, Jesus Christ is the high priest. There is only one priest in this Melchizedek order, according to the Bible. And he is a priest forever. The pastor is not a priest. Verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now if you remember what the book of Revelation says, we've all been made kings and priests in Christ Jesus. The pastor is not the priest. Our high priest is Jesus, and we are all kings and priests in Christ Jesus. Now, it's important for us to understand. Pastor is not a priest in the sense that he is the ruler of the people. We are, and that we are to confess to him. We are to confess, not to confess to the pastor, but the one mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And when it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, he is faithful. Look at who the he's talking about in that chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in the idea of a priest, a priestly office in the sense that he rules over us and we are to confess to him, no, the pastor is not that. He's a priest, a believer priest, king and priest, just like every other believer. And we're not to confess to him. Jesus is our high priest. There's where we do the confessing. Thirdly, he is not the administrator or manager of the church. He is not the administrator or manager of the church. And by the way, neither are you. It's not the congregation that's the administrator, the manager. It's not the pastor that's the administrator or the manager. But the Bible teaches that it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the administrator and the manager of the church. Romans chapter 8, and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit leads. The Bible teaches us that. In Acts chapter 13, if you just turn back there to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 2 to 4. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 4. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth, this is verse 4, by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Verse 2 says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Spirit is the one that calls to service. Some years ago, I had a young man that came in my office, and he was a missionary that was coming through. And he told me, he was visiting here, and he said, he wanted to talk to me, and he came in the office, and he said, he felt God was calling him to start a church in a certain city. And I said, well, you really feel that God is moving on your heart to do that? He said, well, I think so. I just wanted to talk to you about it, see what you thought. And I said, well, I'll tell you this. If God is moving on your heart to do it, then you need to do it. If you're doing something just because you want to do it, you better stay away from it. But if really the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, moving you to do this, then you ought to do it. He said to me, well, I'm going to have to go back to my home church, and if my pastor says that I should, I will. If he says I shouldn't, I won't. Now, that's not right. The pastor is not the one that does the calling. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that calls. One time, my daughter, Shelley, was praying about where God would have her to go to Bible college, and we had a man that came to my house and from a Bible college, and he said to me, he said, you are her father and her pastor, and you need to tell her to come to our college. I said, I don't tell her what she's going to do. I said, I tell her she needs to listen to the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit leads her to do, that's what she needs to do, not what I tell her to do. You see, I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls to special service. And then in Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It is the Holy Spirit who guides in service and equips us for service. It is He who helps us to understand the things of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is important now. It is very important when we come to the office of a pastor that we understand some of these things. Very important. You're going to see that as we move later in these other messages on the pastor of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and looking at verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You ever wonder why, well, you come to Calvary, and in our Sunday school classes, and in the messages, you're always, go to this verse, go to this verse, go over here, go over there. Can't keep up with it, some people say. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be in the Word of God. We just don't give a verse and then speak for 30 minutes and say what we think about it. It is our purpose here to let the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and teach us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If we're dealing with a Scripture that is spiritually discerned, we need spiritual guidance. And praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit is with us to give us that guidance. Look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Son I'm in chapter, I think I'm in chapter 14. I'll get over there. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the things of God. He gives us the power to witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said this. Before He ascended to heaven, He left us with these beautiful words, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Word of God. Gives us the power to witness. He calls the special service. He guides us, leads us. The administrator and manager of the local church is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the head of the church. The pastor is not a priest in the sense that he is a pope. He's not that. It's not the meaning of a chief ruler in that sense. Jesus is our high priest, not the pastor. Jesus is the head of the church. The administrator and manager is the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit, the administrator and the manager of the New Testament church, has given us the rules to follow? The administrator, the manager, has laid it out very clearly for us. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19 to 21. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I said 1 Peter, but that's 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19 to 21, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. You'll be in the right place. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. A lot of people get in trouble with that because they'll take one verse of Scripture and try to base a doctrine on it. You can't do that. You have to put all of the Scripture together. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you see, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the administrator and manager of the church, has given us the rules to follow. He's given us the rules to follow. The Scripture gives us all we need. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, you may not understand it now, but as we move on into the office of a pastor, these things are going to become very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or full grown, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Holy Spirit has given us the rule book, so that we could be everything that God wants us to be. We could grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. The Bible gives us all we need. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what he said when he said that? He said, every word of this Bible is the inspired Word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, the Bible will get us to see our sin. James chapter 1 and verse 23. James 1:23. Down to verse 25. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, into the Word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you see, when you look into the Word of God, it's like a mirror. You see yourself for what you are. The Word of God exposes you just for what you are. It's like a mirror. You can see yourself. And it'll reach the lost. Look in chapter 1 here in verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. He begat us with the Word of truth. The Word of God will reach the lost. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want people to be saved, we're going to have to give them the Word of God. Not only will it bring people to Christ, but it will clean up people. It gets us to see our sin, and it will clean up people. The washing of water, the Bible tells us, by the Word. He'll cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word in Ephesians 5:25-27. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. And look all the way back to Psalm 119, all about the Word of God, and this longest chapter of the Bible, in Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Here's the answer. By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Now, do young people today need the rock music and all of that to get their attention? The Bible says they need the word. That's what's going to cleanse their way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. There's another one. Psalm 119:105. Just go over a page or two. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's going to help me to see what I need to see. It's going to get me on the right path. The Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 23. And hold your place there in Psalms because we'll come back. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29 through verse 31. Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I mean, if the word of God is being preached, you should hear people saying, boy, that really stepped on my toes tonight. That really stepped on my toes. I mean, if the word of God is being preached, that's what's going to happen. It's like as a fire. You're going to feel some burning. Like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. It's a very dangerous thing to steer away from what the Word of God actually says. Psalm 19. And verses 7 through 11. Very precious scripture. They're all precious, but this is one of my favorite areas here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I mean, you look at this. It's sure. It's wise. It's right. It's rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see things you didn't see before. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather be a part of where the Word of God is preached and taught than to be in a church where they just try to make you feel good. Because you get in a church where the Word of God is going to be taught and you're going to see the Word of God and see what the Bible says, it's going to rejoice your heart. It's going to do all these things here that the Bible says the Word of God will do. You can go to a phony baloney church if you want to, but the thing is, you're not going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Job said about it in Job. Here, if I can find the right verse, because I can see in my notes I wrote down the wrong chapter right away. So I always go over my notes and double check them, and that always just never can get everything exactly right. Because I'm not the high priest and I'm not the head of the church. Just a man trying to fulfill what God has called me to do. I'll find it here, so don't give up on me. Just give me a minute and I'll find the right verse. I want you to hear this one, Job said. Now, if I can't find it, I'll quote it to you. This is one of those times that, like the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Well, some of you might remember where it's at, but Job said that he took the Word of God more than his necessary food. More than his necessary food, he looked at the Word of God. Do we look at it that way? What is it? 23. I wrote down chapter 1, verse 12. I didn't go far enough back. Chapter 23, I knew it was verse 12. In verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, I believe in church potlucks and all that, and it's good to get together and eat, but it's a lot better to get the Word of God. And when we get to the point in the church when it's all about eating, then we're on the wrong track. unless we're eating spiritual food. Because the Bible says that the Word is milk, 1 Peter 2:2. The Bible says the Word is meat, Hebrews 5:14. The Bible says it's bread, John 6:51, the Word of life Himself, Jesus, and who's called the Word of God. And Ephesians 5:26, the Word is called the water. More than my necessary food. You know, if we don't eat our necessary food, we're going to starve. Same thing's true spiritually. We're not going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord if we do not get in and eat the spiritual food. And the major purpose of the New Testament church is to give us that spiritual food so that we can come into unity and be all on the same page in the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. To be like Christ. To be a strong church, serving God in the way that He wants us to serve Him. That the body would be together in unity and serve Christ in the way that we should. And so, the pastor is not the head of the church. He is not a priest in the sense that he is above everybody else and he's the ruler. No, he is not a pope. He is not the priest. Jesus is our high priest. We confess to Him, not the pastor. He is not the administrator or the manager of the church. The Holy Spirit is. Well, so if the pastor is not the head, he's not the ruling priest, he's not the administrator or manager, what is his job? Well, you'll have to come back on the second Sunday night of November, and will take up from here, and you will see what his job is. But it's important to understand these things before we move to that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to guide us. Thank you for what we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for giving us the local church to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, that we could have a church that would grow us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Help us as a church to be the kind of a church that our Lord established and not get off course and out of whack and get away from the rule book that the administrator, the manager of the church has given us to guide us, to lead us. Help us to stay true to your word. For there is where we will find the strength to be the mighty church that you want us to be, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing an invitation song. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure you know Christ as your Savior. We wouldn't want to leave this out without giving you an opportunity to come and let someone take the Bible and just show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Didn't